We're live. Warrior Wellness and Live Worlds? No, Life Worlds. Life Worlds. Sorry, it's been a rough week. This is Reverend Michael Kim. It's been a rough week in good ways. Intense because a lot of people in town, out of town, all around town. Marie Reyes came into town this week to do some auditioning and do some great promotional work with his new nonprofit, Force Blue, that's focused on saving the coral reef. And also tonight we've got Sixto LeBron. Sixto is a financial whiz, an analyst within our program, as well as in charge of LeBron Financial Services. Ironically enough, he was also involved in the war on drugs during the Escobar years. Great person who was instrumental in that war. I will not disclose any more information regarding that, but a true asset. He is also a biblical scholar in the area of revelations and understanding scripture in and out, the Christian and Jewish scriptures, at least the First Testament and the Second Testament, and it's great. I mean, when I say scholar, I mean, you know, to me, someone who understands, you know, the content as well as the literal symbolisms, that for me counts as biblical scholarship. I don't just focus on what academic school you go to, because I know that schools matter, but at the same time, there's a lot of Yale and Harvard PhDs and Oxford PhDs who specialize in revelations, but cannot tell you the practical message behind revelations, which I think is very, very important to look at it, since I have done a lot of scholarly work in scripture as well as pastoral care and other areas within ministry. I am not bragging whatsoever, but I'm also not lying about my background. And I also use my background to help veterans. It's very important to have a veteran spiritual ministry, because there are many around, and you know, not many that kind of like reach out to folks all over. So, all that being said, it's going to be like a fantastic show. I'm not sure if Rudy Reyes is going to be calling in, because he's very busy. But a lot of times he will call in when he has the time. He helped form the show. He and Matt DeMeo, they were instrumental during the first couple of episodes that kind of helped, you know, really skyrocket the show. Again, I don't look at attracting masses, but a strong following, consistent following, and they kind of instilled a lot of confidence within Warfighter Radio Network, you know, producer Terry Nichols, who I just am very grateful to, or I should say I'm very thankful. We're approaching 70 episodes. 70. I think this is 70 plus, but let's just say tonight this is the 70th episode, all right? I know there's probably 120. No, there's probably, I would say, somewhere between 70 and 100 episodes. I pretty much believe that. I also have been in a very interesting dialogue with another influential member of the team, Matt DeMail, who's in charge of Condition One. So you can check out gocondition1.com, and you'll also find Rudy Reyes in that, because Rudy works with Matt DeMail to promote wellness and health and all these things through great food. Yes, great training food. I think it's important, if you're going to work out or if you're going to hang out, to eat well. And Matt DeMail provides these energy bars that are top of the line, really. I can't get enough of them in training. So we've got some static and some noise in the background. Man, let me talk first before all that other noise gets, you know, allowed, because I'm the central figure of this show. No, I'm just kidding. The audience is, and this is a service, and yeah, it's just great. This week, Rudy Reyes came into town, and we had a wonderful time, and he was able to take me to the Cult. He took my girlfriend and I to the Cult. Remember that band? They were very influential. And they also kind of had like an apocalyptic message. And I don't know, when I say apocalyptic message, I don't mean a scary message. I mean a message that encourages sovereignty within the soul. That's the essence, I think, in many ways, for much of the positive apocalyptic messaging happening. A sense of self-reliance during difficult times. So I was hanging out in the concert, and then Rudy got the lead singer, Ian Asbury, to talk to me, and it was great. I was speaking to him. He was like, you know, prophet in many ways. I mean, he was talking a lot about like Nepal. I was in Nepal right after Iraq, and it just seems like he's a real soul searcher. Looks like Rudy and the rest of our gang. I wish Christopher Hunt was around, but he's doing work in Ohio. He's one of Rudy's friends, a graphic book artist and book writer, has a book carver. Fantastic. And then I ended up through Rudy meeting Cable Gibbs, fantastic stuntman, and we had many, many laughs, and another influential person, Paul Pope, who's done Batman Year 100, Berlin Batman, Battling Boy. This guy is presently, as we speak, he can't be on the show, but he's doing some cover art for Men's Health, premier graphic artist, graphic book writer. So all that being said, let's have also a message to mothers out there. For me, let's just say this. Mary is recognized as an archetype for many different religions, not just Christianity. People don't understand that. The thing about Mary, people don't understand, is that Mary is a big figure within spirituality, because she says yes to an angel. Now, if an angel showed up to me, to be quite honest, I'd run. But Mary basically says yes to an angel when the angel shares the message regarding a child being in her, and Mary follows through with the mission of being a mother. And much like what Odysseus was being told by the prophet, Tiresias, Odysseus was told, listen, in the world, you know, once you come home from the war, when you get to Ithaca, you're going to be dealing with another, war. And that war, you're not going to be using your oar for the water. use that oar, take up that oar to get through your life and have a full life and die a smooth death. And basically, the prophet basically helped Odysseus with this vision of hard times, again tied to apocalyptic messaging. Mary, many of our mothers, have done that so that we could, whether they're here now. My mom died young, but I still have her message for me to take up my oar every day, stuff. And I don't just say that, to sound intellectual. I say that in a very practical manner. We have to take up our oars, and our mothers kind of have helped us. They're not perfect, but they help us in different ways. So we want to honor mothers today. Special mention, my mom, Conchita, and the woman that, was very influential to many people, Annie Challey, in Daytona Beach, Florida. She recently passed. Very helpful to my family when my mom died. So, shout out to them. She was a World War II nurse, a veteran herself, much like my sister, also a mom of three. My sister's a vet, served in Afghanistan, hardcore gal. So we want to honor mothers. And that's our message. What callers do we have on right now? And if Rudy's on, then I want to hear from Rudy, because I know he's limited in time. He's doing a lot of different projects. But who do we have on deck? Anyone on deck? Who do we have? Six, though? Rudy?
Reverend Mike.
Anyone? Who is this?
Reverend Mike. This is Six, though.
Oh, fantastic. Sixto, thank you very much for being a guest. Is that your noise in the background?
No.
It's not? Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. When you hear the word apocalypse, by the way, people don't realize Rudy Reyes was in a BBC show that he narrated and acted himself called Apocalypse Man. You can Google that right now. It's kind of relevant to some of the things that we've had to say. But outside of that, let's go back to Sixto LeBron, because he's done extensive work as far as trying to understand apocalyptic messaging through the work of St. John of Patmos, the book of Revelations, in the Second Testament. So that was not an alcoholic burp. That was a coffee burp. Go ahead.
Just ask that question one more time, Mike, because we got some feedback on your end, I think.
Okay. Who's is there another caller on board? Because anyone? Hello? Who's calling? All right, the show can't progress smoothly unless we have people identifying who's in the background. Shut them out, producer, if they're not legit, because we've got All right.
Laura Frias in the background.
Who is it?
Laura Frias from Florida.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you limit that, cousin? Because we gotta let your brother say a couple great words, because he's always very systematic in his delivery, and I appreciate your attendance, your beauty as my cousin, and your smarts as growing up, and your mom and your dad and your other siblings and your children and your husband. Blessings to you, and you're a great mother too. So blessings to you on this day, Mrs. Frias, my cousin. Okay, so Sixto, Can you share with us some messaging here?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on the show, Mike. I appreciate the introduction. Happy mothers to all the mothers that are out there. And I actually...
And hold on one second. Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm glad you mentioned that. An honor to your mother, Mrs. Laura LeBron, my aunt, Tia Laura, and also Tia Anita. That's my other aunt. I love them greatly. Great mothers. So go ahead. Sorry, I just like to have informal approach to the show. Go ahead. I won't interrupt you again, unless the background noise gets overwhelming. But go ahead. Sixa? Hello? Sixa? Six?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So this started because of my mother and her letting me or having me come to her church and talk about Revelations. And I realized that people are afraid of the book and some churches won't even cover it. And whereas, you know, what it should really be is something that is of comfort to people that are in hurt.
Wow. Why do you say that? Because it's always scary. And then, you know, you remember when we were kids and the omen and all that, and that's coming from Revelations and, you know, all the scary stuff. And yeah, so why do you say that? Because there's a lot of irony behind your words, which I trust, and that's why I want the audience to be enlightened too.
Yeah, absolutely. And movies like that where, you know, there's a lot of fear, and other movies too, you know, Tim LaHaye and making movies about the end where planes are crashing and, you know, you're left behind and your whole family is gone, but you know, you're going to get marked with the beast. And so those are things that caused a lot of fear. And don't get me wrong, I don't put that down. The book is somewhat fearful when you read it because the symbolism is very sharp. It's a strong symbolism that, you know, anytime you're talking about judgment, there could be some fear, but the main purpose of the book is to bring comfort to someone that has been either decimated or people that are under oppression. I mean, think about, you know, even just before the show, I was listening to Bob Marley and Redemption Song and just, you know, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that, I think that people sometimes miss that part of it and they only get the other part of it.
And how would you look at some of these reasons for misunderstandings regarding the apocalypse or Revelations, the book of Revelations?
Yeah. Well, it's a difficult book, and when you add on the fact that it's probably one of the most read or at least known about books in the history of the world, because the Bible is the number one selling book in the world. I think the Iliad is number two. Then you have a wide base of individuals over time that have been exposed to, at least maybe they haven't read it, but they've exposed to hearing about it or parts of it. And so everyone, you know, everyone has at least a little bit of knowledge on it. And that can also, when you got only a little bit of the picture, that can also bring a little bit of miscommunication as to what the main goal of the book is.
We're going to go get into some of those acute parts of the narrative. But before that, what would you say is the goal in your studies regarding Revelations?
I think the goal is keep the faith. The faith in the sense that, you know, it's Yogi Berra said that the game's not over till the fat lady sings. You know, and the fact that the book is making a bold statement, and it's that this is a real is it a dream or more like a vision, where he's saying that he actually saw the past, present, and future, and he sees the future as the total victory of, you know, of the people that are in on, you know, right side, right song, right side.
Right. And that would be in many ways not for you and I to judge, right? But kind of like to a certain extent, and let me this is just like my own get and fill in the blanks from your perspective. Kind of like that engaging of natural law and divine law coming together to maybe overshine or not to shine over, you know, civil law and common law and you know, how should I say it, man's law.
Yeah. And you know, putting those three things together can get complicated.
Yeah. What would you say has been the most from your studies of Revelations? I know at times you've gone to like other works to look at Revelations. What other works tied? Like there's some ties to other works to Revelations, right? So it's not just like reading Revelations and that's it, right?
Oh, you know, absolutely. Like, I when I took an interest to this, you know, if you read, I looked at some Gnostic works from Elaine Pagels. Mm-hmm. I looked at some works from Hitchens, Dawkins, people that are maybe on the how can I say that, Mike? Not non-believers. And, you know, then I also looked at some Catholic works, Bishop Barron, so some works like that, and just try to get a broader picture of
your studies.
Other people think.
Right, and in your studies, how about the intertextual, biblical works, right? There's like some connections with Revelations with other pieces, correct?
Absolutely. The other books, a lot of the imagery comes from the Old Testament. So books like Daniel, books like Ezekiel, Isaiah, a lot of the imagery comes from those books, and even a lot of the ideas and a lot of the conclusions come from prior works.
Mm-hmm. You know, let me ask you this, because we're about the same age and we've spent many years, you know, at least studying the Bible, you know, either with the, you know, belt across our backs because of our, you know, friends and family, or, you know, in school, you know, you studied at St. John's, and I studied at a couple other schools, and you know, informal study, and then, you know, some of the ministry, great ministry that you've done, with the late great pastor David Reverend David Wilkerson Church, involved in interpreting and all that stuff at one time, doing all these like positive things. When you look at different aspects of Revelation, what is the most moving part of the piece?
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned Pastor David Wilkerson, and I was an interpreter from bilingual Spanish there for somewhere around 7 to 10 years. So I got to really know a lot from his perspective, and that definitely is a big source of what I learned over the years. And for this book, maybe just the people are oppressed in the book. And what happens is that people were actually martyred for their beliefs. Just because they believed a certain thing, they were martyred. And you hear their blood cry out in the book and says, when are we going to get justice for this? You know, we're just being slaughtered, and it's not, you know, it's not right. When do the scales start equaling out? Because it's not happening. You know, it's not happening. And so you hear that in the book. You hear that cry.
So that call of justice, which in many ways is tied to like the prophets, right, of the first Testament, right? It's like, to a certain extent, John is kind of like giving allusions of all that in the piece.
Yep. Yes. Absolutely. You hear like a prophetic kind of shotgun warning, you know, like a shotgun kind of warning, like a red light going off, you know, warning.
Much like the warnings that we're getting today by a lot of like interesting alternative media that have been pointing out certain things regarding the financial crisis at this time and the potential for another financial breakdown. It's kind of interesting. Again, I'm not trying to mix the spiritual and, you know, the earthly, but I am like looking at parallels. So I really love how you just said warning, because I do feel as though John was tied to, yes, something very spiritual, but also something very practical. In me saying that, let me ask you this. What was happening at that time during John's time? Can you give a picture for the audience regarding that?
I have limited knowledge on that, but my understanding is that the book is written somewhere around 70 AD, somewhere in there, and that there's a total destruction of the second temple. And there's about a million Jews that were killed at that time. So it's a total decimation of the race. Maybe about 10% of people who actually survived that culture. And so this is a total, and then his Messiah has been crucified. So this is like, regardless of what you're going through in your life, you have not, your race has not been, well, we can't say everyone, but you haven't gotten to the point where, you know, your Messiah has been crucified and you haven't seen him resurrect and your whole race has been decimated. For most people, I know we realize that, you know, it's a big world and that people are actually going through that in this world right now, i.e. a lot of Muslims and
because of ISIS and all that. So people are actually going through that today. And for them, this book is, you know, it's total true prophecy that's happening, you know, to them right now.
Right. That's awesome. I'm glad you kind of drew in the past and how in the past there was an unfolding present happening in the past that John is kind of capturing, and he puts out there that message and that book becomes a template to beyond the ages, throughout the ages, and we even have it now. And I love how you were able to kind of like move between the past and the present unfolding future. So this is like great. We've got on the line, I'm going to have you stand by and also have some commentary. We've got the man, the legend, and I'm not like worshiping or anything. I don't have idol worship, but you know, there's a man that was very helpful to get this show on the road. And also, impressively, did the show by the BBC. And folks, when I tell you, when you have a show endorsed or produced by the BBC, and you're a prime mover in the show, as this man, Rudy Reyes, a recon marine sniper, known for different movie projects, including Generation Kill, and several other projects, a nonprofit right now that Force Blue, all these different projects with Condition One, Beyond Clothing, Beyond This, Beyond That. He is beyond. He's a great artist as well. Hey,
thank
Rudy.
You. Gentlemen,
yeah,
thank you.
So,
thanks
so,
for having
so,
me on.
No, brother. I try not to abuse your time because you're doing
man.
A lot.
Oh,
you,
my man. I love Reverend Michael Kim. Is that when I come on your show, like it's never ever, and your guests would agree with this. There's never any kind of shallow talk on your show, and it's only for men and women that want to dive deep in life, in politics, and in spirituality, in any kind of issue that affects humanity. So thank you all, thank you both for
That's
having
right.
me on.
This is never chatter, as the famous.
That's right.
Controversial philosopher Martin Heidegger said, eliminate chatter and dwell within the Black Forest. And the Black Ooh. Forest is a place that he never left in Germany. Yes, he's criticized
sure.
for many things, but Heidegger never left that Black Forest
well
and talk
well
and
said.
Thought. And you and my man Sixto embody that. Now let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Rudy, you did tell us, because the audience always wants to know a lot about you, but they don't know, you know, it's not just Generation Kill, but you were also, like, the BBC did a program called Apocalypse Man, and you not
yeah.
only acted in it, you narrated, and you were, you know, like, involved in the writing and all of these different things. Can you give a little background regarding Apocalypse Man, because the theme tonight is dealing with
yes,
apocalyptic
that.
Messaging.
Sure. And you're and sir, the gentleman
yeah.
that was speaking about John. And,
yeah.
and yes, sir. I mean, yes, this is Old Testament. I guess what we could say, maybe in a broader sense, this is has been the fear of mankind since the dawn of written or even oral history. Is the end of times, the end of days, when the village, when the city-state, when the fiefdom, when the country implodes and falls down and there's fire in the sky, and tsunamis and crashing waves, earthquakes, right? This has been the essence of humans' fear, aside from the dark, since time eternal, correct?
Yeah.
Here we are.
And then I love how you bridge that, the old and then the new, the Old Testament and then what's in the
sure.
New Testament. Go ahead.
Oh,
and this
the, okay.
show. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, it's so wild. Possibly, gentlemen, possibly we have about 100 years left on this earth if we as a human society do not make some drastic course corrections. We've got about 100 years period. It's not just from pollution and overcrowding. It is from the growing of third world and second world nations to first world and what they demand in commerce and in goods. And there is no way for this world to produce those goods. So we have we are at a crux, and if we don't come together as a human race, the human race as we know it will be gone. And I don't know if it's positive or negative, but I do know that if we want our grandchildren to have children and those children to have children, we need to start making responsible decisions and policy and start standing up for something now. Would you all agree?
I totally agree, and that goes beyond my quasi-idol worship of you. But
My man. Well, you know, I'm working on Force 2. I'm working on Force 2 right now, you all, and I'm finding out. So by doing all this research and being down with just this prestigious team of fellow brothers, I have Sean Moore, Green Beret. I have Jeff Reeves, a Navy SEAL commander, just amazing. I've got Will Hinson, recon marine and team leader. I have Roger Sparks, the most prestigious pararescueman and recon marine of all time. I have John Slayer, British Royal Marine Commando, all of these combat divers and masters of the aquatic world. And here we are as children working with the finest reef scientists in the world, Matt Atkins and Patty Gross, just to name a few, Guy Harvey. And we recognize that 1% of the ocean's floor, the coral reefs, produce 60 to 70% of the world's oxygen. And these reefs are dying at an astronomical rate. And with these reefs gone, when we lose blue, then all of the green will die as well. So we've got about 100 years to get some things together. And we got to start right now. And you get on forceblueteam.org, see what we're doing about it. And I think by leading this charge, it can transcend nationality, it can transcend socioeconomic, it can transcend race, it can transcend religion. And we can all get involved in really saving this planet and saving our children's 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 lives.
And some of the things that you've said, they definitely parallel the messaging
Isn't it biblical?
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
How similar is this? Being you as spiritual men and as reverends, as students of the word, how similar are these? Some of these messages that we've heard from many different tombs of religion and of spirit texts. This has been the crux of humankind. Are we selfish, or are we divine? What are we? And if we're divine, then we need to step in and do something right and take care of this planet before we go the way of the dinosaur.
Agreed. Let me ask you this before we have some commentary from
Sister
LeBron. Rudy, what going back to your time doing the Apocalypse Man, can you
yes.
give some reflections regarding that? Because that was an amazing. I mean, you know
it's
me.
It's kind of ahead of its time.
I'm into my Aristotle. I'm on my YouTube lectures and all that. And then for me to, like, break out and get into, like, some TV show, you know, and I was like, okay, man,
but
I'm going to give it a chance. And I found it very opening, man.
Thank you,
yeah,
brother.
Go ahead.
Just, you know, I've been watching the Miss America pageant, right? But let me tell you, dog.
Okay, all right.
It's
all
so
right.
pertinent. Here are these women, and on the outside you see the statuesque beauty, how they conduct themselves on stage and how they speak, how they talk. But what's most important about what makes someone beyond just a pretty face, what makes someone transcendent is the message they stand for. And there's a platform. And so I look at the same thing in my world, in my life through the entertainment business. Mm-hmm. I never realized I'd be in entertainment, of all things. I was a recon marine, and I joined as an infantryman. I joined as a grunt. No idea except that the only thing I knew for sure that was coming to me was death on the battlefield. For some strange happenstance, whether it be a fluke or be divine, I was given the opportunity to be an entertainer. And all that is a platform to bring more people in to the life of respect, of duty, of dignity, and to enlighten people and inspire people. So, you know, I'm just a Miss America of the freaking commando world. I'm the Miss America of the warfighter world. And I take that duty very seriously. And so when we look at Apocalypse Man, it was not just entertainment for us. It was SEER. It was SEER school, survival, evasion, resistance, escape, in a world that has fallen apart. And and it was kind of ahead of its time. That was like 7 years ago. It was way ahead of its time. And people are really, really into doomsday preppers and survival skills. There's all kinds of schooling for weapon systems and how to provide for yourself in an urban, suburban freaking catastrophe. But let us not be puzzled and overwhelmed with the small details. The overarching message is, around the corner, disaster can happen, and it could be at a cataclysmic level. So how do we first prepare ourselves and possibly thwart that from happening? And it will be communication, it'll be humanity, it will be embracing of human rights, even if that means we have to fight for them. And and we have to start talking seriously about how much we consume as a human race.
Yeah, hey, Rudy, I liked the show because it didn't go beyond someone saying, hey, the apocalypse, the ending is coming, and start investing in gold. You know what I mean?
And sir, I'll let you speak in a second. In the end of Apocalypse Man, I said, you know what? I fight and I survive and I have the skills to make it. But what's the point if I don't have other people to connect to? And the last piece of the show was me driving off looking for other people. So people and humanity is what we're searching for and what we need to protect. It's not Semper I, it's Semper Fi. So go ahead, sir. I'll give the floor to you.
I just wanted to first greet you, Rudy, and I love the movie, by the way.
Thank you, dog.
Who doesn't love it, though? Who doesn't love it? If you find, I carry my Bible, but I'll pull out my Bowie knife to anybody. No, you didn't hear that. That's a religious show. Because I know how to use a Bowie knife. People don't know. Rudy, it's like overhand strikes, right? It's used the Bowie knife. It ain't used none of this, like, you know, street gang, the warriors. That knife was meant for overhand launches.
Sure.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Ain't that right? Okay. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah. I wanted to add to Rudy's point,
sir.
Because, you know, just this, when Mike said, I'm going to start a church radio internet, and, you know, he started kind of talking about, well, I was like, well, let's look at all these big ministries and how big they are and how, you know, what can we do? How can we blow it up? And Mike was like, no, it's not about that. You know, it's about just one at a time. And I was blown away by it.
Spiritual intimacy. Would you agree, brother? It's spiritual.
Getting the right people, man. And that's why I said, Terry, I said, and Matt DeMeo, brother Matt DeMeo of C1, Rudy Reyes, these people were like, and you, Sixto, in the background and stuff. Keep it small because I have the right
that's
people
right.
to be force multipliers. Because, just like the gospel says, you know, it just takes a mustard seed. But the bottom line is who's going to carry those mustard seeds. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes.
I had to get on my preaching rant.
I got this, Mike. we have this wonderful woman that you need. I will put you in contact with Dr. Carrie Elk, and her therapy that she gives Tier 1 level operators is completely nonprofit, and she has helped myself, Roger Sparks, Force Blue, and other unnamed Tier 1 level operators to the level that she flies to their home and also conducts therapy with their families, with their wives, the unseen veterans, the unseen casualties, the children, the unseen casualties of a country that's been at war for almost two decades. Dr. Carrie Elk, she should be part of this spiritual and emotional ministry, of this spiritual and emotional intimacy that is helping change lives and save lives. And you're exactly right, brothers. It's got to be personal, and stay with that inner truth. And perfect character always, be three times less judgmental of others, three times harder on your own personal character. And that's Chen Ansik. That's my Kung Fu teacher taught me this. And I will pass it forward to anyone listening. Three times more understanding of other people and their missteps, and three times harder on your judgment of your character to make yourself better. And if
I tell you, with six, so I trust him with my life, man, like you.
Mm-hmm.
This man's character is that and more.
Oh,
and,
I know. It's
tremendous.
And I know
it's tremendous.
Great.
But I wanted you to say that the three times for our audience, because I always have to be reminded by that, you know, three
we
times. You're right.
We need
three
each
times.
Other. We need each other to remind.
Yep. Go ahead,
you
six,
know,
so. I'm sorry, I cut you off
six,
with
no,
my
please,
preaching.
Please continue, brother.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. I was going to say just that. You know, Mike, as far as he was right, being an innovator and just looking at ministry in so many different ways, and I applaud that.
Thank you,
my man. And I'm glad that he's you know holding down the fort in that sense.
Well, you know, we're all figuring it out, my brother, and I am too. And it's rocking that we can support each other. I love now as veterans that branch of service has nothing to do with anything anymore. Even MOS doesn't mean anything anymore. What matters is that we're veterans and we served our country, and people who have taken care of us are also veterans, and we are all working together. This is truly a tribe and village that goes beyond race, religion, socioeconomic. And look at what we're doing now. We have to
and that's part
to
of that apocalyptic
that.
Hope. And that's part of that the apocalypse, the hope within the apocalypse. It's not just about the darkness, and you're adding that hope. And I'm definitely going to contact this clinician.
There's no doubt
about that. Yep. And Sixto, when you heard Rudy speak about the show, how is that of your reflection
regarding?
Sixto,
where do you come from, brother? I don't know enough about your background. Where do you come from? You sound very East Coast. I'm from the Midwest. Where are you from, my man? I want to hear a little bit about you, son. I already know my Kim.
You can't know enough of me, brother. Go ahead. Hey, by the way. This is a special show. Wait. The pastor's got to talk here. This is a special show. I understand from Terry Nichols, our producer, generous producer, War 5 Radio Network. The show has been extended. Rudy, I know you need to drop whenever.
Thank you.
But we'll go both.
No, we got.
All right. We got plenty of time. Just before Six comes on, because Six is one of these humble cats. Very nice.
I can't wait to hear more about Six. I want to hear.
And the thing about it is, he was caught up with the war on drugs in the as a civilian in law enforcement. Like you, we don't ask too many questions. We just leave it at that. But beyond that, the guy has gone into financial services as in an ethical manner, and has also pursued different types of studies and mission work and pastoral work
in the Latino church in New York.
Oh, I love it, brother.
Go ahead.
I love it, brother.
What else?
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Six, go ahead. Yeah. Tell it what it'd be like, bro.
Oh, no, I was just going to say thanks to Mike for that very, very nice intro that he gave me. And just I know that we're getting pressed on time here and the show ends around 10, but
No, we got extended time, my brother. We got some credit. We got some credit.
If you touch one life right now, you're doing the right thing. You're touching one life, and you know our men and women in blue need to hear the message too.
So I mean, with me, what I thought I was going to get out of it was a little bit of enlightenment as to how we can unite forces and do ministry. One of the shows that influenced me the most was this lady. I actually went through some of the shows because I can't keep up sometimes on Sunday, but I went through one of the shows, and he had a double amputee on, and she was on the show, and she talked. It was such a freeing conversation that she had, and such a lighthearted spirit. And I think that was like one of the reasons why I wanted to come on and say, hey, you know what? She just accepted me like the beloved, and she didn't even know I was listening because I only listened to the recording.
Yeah.
So I thought was, wow, if this is for me, it's for anybody.
It is. It is. And you know what, my man? To quote Roger Sparks, my Recon Ranger mentor, and Silver Star recipient, pararescueman, highest decorated pararescueman. And brothers, when you get to spend time with Raj, he is such a special man. Because he has zero ego, yet an immense amount of pride and armor. He says it comes down to mercy, love, and grace. Mercy, love, and grace. And when someone can bring a person to that message of mercy, love, and grace, then that's when some healing can begin. And I think that's what you all are speaking about, ministry. It's what I learned in Chinese Kung Fu, and what I learned in the Omaha Home for Boys. That mercy, love, and grace. But it is something I forgot in the Marine Corps. Because remember, we have no mercy in the Marine Corps. So now, as a transitioning warrior, transitioning veteran, I'm ready to listen to that message of mercy, love, and grace. And I think that's really what we're all speaking about.
And you practice it too. And I give you both of you men. I've been in tough times. Sixto knows even more about my love life because we grew up together. But I'm a pastor here, so I'm going to keep it rated G. But anyway, bottom line is this. Y'all have come to me during my hard times, and that was greatly appreciated. I mean, greatly, immensely appreciated.
Well, you were there for me too. How could we get through this thing alone? None of us could.
Who was I know Mike had another guy on, and I mean, the way they were ministering, it's just so out of tradition but effective. What they have, Mike, they just set up like in Lake Michigan, and they got a boat, and they were doing like a camping and bringing kids together.
Yeah, Jeremy Wallace, man. With I always get the name wrong, man. He's going body slam me when he sees me. He's a Kentucky boy, one of those long rifles. Iraq War veteran, set something
Kentucky,
up. Rudy,
Native American.
Come down when. Yeah, go down. I'll link you guys up because with your skills and all that, they're always going kayaking in Kentucky, and he just set something up. Right, just with the Navy SEAL at some boys' camp in Kentucky, and it was fantastic. It's called the Soldier's Heart
Oh, I like that.
Muddy Waters and Bluegrass, and they just, yeah, they have prayer meetings, but they, it's not like, you know, preaching. It's all about just hanging out and being uplifted, like what you do to me and what Sixto does to me too. You know, we just talk, and we just, it's heart-to-heart stuff. You know what I mean? It's heart-to-heart, not just the 1970s TV show heart-to-heart with my woman, Heather Locklear. Back then, not my lady now, because we all know who my lady now is, and God bless her sovereignty. She's a great person. But my woman back then, Heather Locklear, heart-to-heart. Remember that? Sorry, we don't want to be
out of
here.
Yeah. Yeah,
what was the other show? Rudy Reyes busted out. Sixto, do you remember Stir Crazy? The movie. We sometimes we have to lighten this stuff up, you know, because we're talking
Gene Wilder. Was that Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor?
Yeah. Rudy and
I'm dating myself.
Rudy was like, "Sweet, we had dinner, you know, my partner and my girlfriend made a wonderful dinner. Great Belgian meal." And then Rudy busts out. He's like trying to really show
I gave
us
a little samurai
because,
sword lesson.
Yeah.
And,
a real
I just
one,
taught
though,
the
not,
kids. Yeah, I taught the kids how to properly respect a blade as a
but
weapon.
But it was a real
not
one.
A toy.
He didn't know.
No, we didn't know it was a real
ahead.
Blade until I pulled that thing out, right? And this little 11-year-old is like, "Well, I thought it was heavy." I'm like, "Damn straight, it's heavy. It's a real blade." And maybe that's something we could think about in regular life, right? Like sometimes you think it's just kid games, and you think, you know, you think it's freaking amateur night at the Apollo, and you got your kid gloves on, but no, the stuff is a real blade. So,
and it could have, and he swung it,
and
it's
live. Every situation,
and he swung
is
it, and it
live.
Like nearly chopped some heads because we thought it was a fake blade. The kids didn't have a wonderful girl. Wonderful. I look at her as like my daughter. God bless her, you know.
The 11-year-old.
And she's smart
like
as all.
A little 11-year-old. But she was too embarrassed to tell everybody how heavy this thing was, so she kind of kept it in the back, right? She got it on eBay or what do you got it? Amazon? Or Naruto Real Sword. And so I started freaking teaching a little Yaito and a little Yaijitsu how to freaking draw the blade. I'm like, damn, this thing's kind of heavy. It's like a real blade. And then I touched the blade, and I'm like, this is a real blade.
Anyway, after you swung it. Inside
that's
a New York apartment. It ain't like you were doing it in Central Florida somewhere in backwoods, you know. I mean, it was in a little New York apartment.
In an apartment.
In a little Harlem apartment, I'm drawing the blade and first teaching the butt strike and then the cut, horizontal cut, and then blade over the head, and then a big step forward and cut, and then I'm like, damn, this thing is stout. And as I return it back to the scabbard, I realize the edge, because I use my thumb to bring it back, and I'm like, wait a second.
Because that's supposed to be the proper samurai practice?
That's right.
Explain
that.
Explain it to our audience. We're learning here all different things, not just about scripture. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and it's so interesting.
This is like the movie, The Last Samurai. Go ahead.
Yes, all of the war art is also biblical art. It's also Zen Buddhism, it's Tao. Because all world culture is war culture. Either the men and women who are destroyed by war, or subjugated, or those that won for a time. Notice, no empire stays on top. This is all human culture, war. A lot of people that have never experienced such savagery as the streets, as poverty, as combat, they're afraid to speak on these terms because it's frightening. It's frightening. But those of us that come from streets, come from poverty, or come from combat, we know it's the truth. But through that truth of destruction, of fear, the truth of domination, the little feather of human hope and transcendence of compassion, that's where it is born. There's no such thing as peace, compassion, love. There's no such thing as the word God. except in the darkest of night or the deepest of seas.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. because of that grave, nebulous fear, pain, and nihilism, because of that, the existence of God turns into some kind of bottle rocket that explodes upwards and brings people with it and inspires people. So that's where we're at now.
Let me ask you this. That was lovely, Ben. I'm gonna steal some of that for some of my future sermons.
You sounded like my spiritual father called today.
Yeah. Didn't he sound like that?
David.
Bro,
hey, brother.
Hey,
I did it college.
Yeah, no, man.
But it's from the heart, y'all.
We've all been through the college, the university of struggle, the college of combat.
We've been through the PhD of suffering. We've been through the master's program of scratching together rent money and making sure your insurance is correct on your car. I mean, right?
Right. You're right. Let me ask you this. Wait, hold on. Dog. This whole thing, we've got, believe it or not, when you come on, the switchboard's always exploding. So we have a couple people. All right, folks, keep it short. If you have a question or comment to make,
yes.
Folks. Anyone want to make a comment or a question? I know this is somewhat of an irreverent kind of show, but that's my approach. I'm out of the box all the time. But go ahead. Anyone? All right, going once, going twice, going three times. I know there's folks out there. If you have a comment or a switchboard, now is the time to make a comment because we're going to go into something else. Anyone? All right. Our producer will let us know. Who's that? Hello? You're not coming in. Okay.
You're coming in broken and unreadable. Get to higher ground.
Yeah.
Adjust.
But, before I got into my whole thing with the samurai sword, I was background noise, cut that or just like leave the show and then listen through the internet. I can, if you go on the website, you'll be able to get access through it through Blog Talk Radio. But the thing about it is,
go ahead. And Mike, if you could put a link up on your social media,
I did.
So the rest of us can put it up. I I'm on the phone right now, so I haven't checked.
Well,
it,
you gotta tell sorry ass Adam, who I love so greatly, to put me back on Facebook with you, because that one time where I got hacked, and then I
that's
this is
right.
The funniest story. Audience, it ain't like that. We all hated each other.
This is how
the thing about it
is,
wait, let me finish, dog. And then, the thing is that we ended up, getting hacked. I got hacked, at least. There was a couple of people I know got hacked. And then I started cutting people off immediately because there's just like some internal dialogue. You know, you all know that I was going after, I was trying to fight off certain people from the deep state, you know, And the thing about it is I wanted to keep shielded. So check this out. I delete like some real close people, and then when I get everything cleared up, I re-invite people like Rudy. There were a couple people I chopped off temporarily to resolve this. So all of a sudden, like a week or two later, really got bombarded by like 3,000 Facebook personnel, and it wasn't like bought or anything. It was just, it was like a promo that happened that got, that extended out there, and so many people even became more aware of your work and wanted to be,
you know what,
your friend, and it totally flooded things.
Well,
you
of
know?
Course, I've been flooded for five years, bro. The next platform is Instagram. So, Michael Kim, if you do not have your Instagram correct, you need to work on that immediately, and I'll help you with that. And
right.
It's the same thing with you, brother. Instagram, for this modern, you know, this modern world of people that only have a 60-second attention span, Instagram,
mm-hmm.
because it's images and a 60-second video, it is the new platform, and there's no limits on it. So you all must come together with that Instagram. And if you need help, talk with me, talk with Matt DeMeo. And we've got some other people that we can help you all with that.
That's cool.
And you can just do mm-hmm. little snippets about spirituality, about the word, and you can do some imagery about what you're doing with orphanages and with people from the streets and in our VA hospitals and in our service community with fire department, police department, EMT, paramedic, and we can really start moving this message forward. All right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. I just wanted to add that, that was just, like, funny that you're, like, you, I think, and Vin Diesel, and, the whole, you can't be a friend to Rudy Reyes because he's got so many friends on there. But,
you know,
that's right.
That'll be another
yeah.
show.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just joking.
So,
I thought it was
great. I know, you think it's funny, but I have to go through that list. And then I think
yeah.
you're thinking it'll be easy to erase some people. Guess what? I know every one
no.
of those 5,000.
Right.
Wow.
That's true. That's
wow.
true.
Wow.
Well, bump them off, man.
Right.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No. I'm not telling you to
oh,
be
no.
unethical.
No, it's
I'm
not.
I'm just telling you.
Right,
I'm just telling
it.
You to make a couple disappear. No, I'm joking. Okay.
That's what's so wild. So I've got lots of brothers and sisters that are close to me in personal life. But
yeah.
They, you know, on Facebook, it's been booked for a long time, but it's only got 5,000 characters. And so
right.
I think, okay, I'm going to call it. I'm going to go through the list. My man, I can't get, I mean, I get through the damn all the way to like freaking G. And still, every person I'm afraid, like I say, I know them, and I'm like, man, if I freaking cut them out, they're going to be like, damn, why did Rudy freaking cut me out? And
that's
what happens.
Oh,
I've been on the planet for 45 years. 45 years doing good works for humanity.
Yeah,
you do know 5,000 people, or 5,000 people do care
yes.
about you.
Yes,
and that's nothing.
Yes.
And so let's
yes.
work on the Instagram, which there's no
yeah.
limit, and I can take care of you guys in any way and put your messages out online. Which, you know, I got 40,000 freaking damn near 40,000 followers that are always
mm-hmm.
interested in spirituality and a higher level of being, and I can
yeah.
do that.
Let me ask you this, and then we'll get back into it. This is a good break period. What have you been up to? You mentioned a little bit about the Force Blue. What are some other things that you've been involved in, Rudy? What, you know, I saw some wonderful art that you produced. I didn't even know, and I thought I knew you, and then you started busting out Wolverine, like, really high
yeah,
quality art, graphic
button,
art,
brother.
And all
your
ties
cat.
To the comic art world, amazing.
Sure.
So what's going on? And I'm sorry for your loss too, Rudy. And the
no,
world
no,
feels
right.
it, man. They've been, I've
no,
been getting
it's
called
interesting, y'all.
About you. Yeah, go ahead.
When you all would, I mean, think about you both in your youth.
Mm-hmm.
What you were most
mm-hmm.
inspired with? You know, was it Rocky Balboa? Was it Rambo?
Man.
Was it, you know, was it Spider-Man, Batman? Was it Bruce Lee? Those are the guys that were
mm-hmm.
inspiring to me. And so I started drawing comics when I was a little boy. And I actually had a full-ride art scholarship because I drew so much, and then I got into painting. But I had to, I ethically had to turn it down because I couldn't bring my little brothers with me. To art school, and however, it's been a driving force.
The driving force of ethics, of ethos.
Yeah,
we honored Jim. Tell us
yes.
a little bit about that story, man, because
sure.
that touched me, man, and
it's incredible, and we'll hear also from Six, but I had to really get that because you're
Six,
the person of meaning.
This is what went down. My Kansas City father raised my little brothers and I because our family was not in our lives. Our mother and we had no father, so we would fend for ourselves and we'd hang out at the comic book store. And since we were little kids, this man Jim is a karate man and a veteran of Brownwater Navy from Vietnam, and he just loved the hell out of us boys. And as I got older, and as I became a martial arts fighter, and as I got some notoriety, and then when I joined the service, I'd come back every year back home to Kansas City, and he knew what was going to be in store for me. And so in the last few years in which I had filed for spirit, he's been there for me, and we're very close. He knows my children, and he considers Michael Caesar and I as his sons. He has no children but us. And he was just killed. He was just murdered and robbed a couple days ago. Mm. And in his store, Clint's Comics, which is the bedrock of heroism, on Main Street in Westport, Kansas City. There's a massive hole in my heart, a massive hole in the heart of Kansas City. And I just found out 3 days ago that Jim was murdered. And I've been spending time with Chris Hunt and Paul Pope, the amazing comic book creators. These are heroes of mine.
Yes.
And I think about the ethos they live through Clint's Comics and through Jim. And through Batman and through Spider-Man and Daredevil. And I thought about how it inspired me to be a reporter. And you know, I'm just not going to give up, man. It's not going to give up believing.
And
that's it, man. What else do I have to say about that? I mean, I don't know.
Well, what I have to say is that I was honored that you tied me into that world more. It was a world that, you know, my buddy Dale Bowen, I grew up with, he was like you, but when I was a kid, he was like a superstar, 2 years, you know, older than me, and was, you know, just a champion athlete. Like, he definitely had that Alexander paradigm, or that archetype, you know, and inspired me as a boy. And he had a bunch of comics, and I was really into the Punisher. And then I left that whole scene, and then you kind of reinvigorated that in me, and by introducing me to these great guys, Chris Hunt, and then Paul Pope. Yeah, you know, these are true gentlemen. It's incredible. Thank you. And
Ian
Asbury,
comics, bro.
You know?
Ian Asbury loves his comics. And Six, who were your heroes? Were you a DC guy or a Marvel guy when you were coming up? Were you a freaking Avengers guy or were you a Justice League guy? You know what I'm saying?
Amazing.
Sorry about that. I was on mute. I'm going to these will probably be my last comments because I'm going to I don't know if I
That's
told you
okay.
this, but I'm headed out to France on Thursday for 3 days, and then to Rome. Just to kind of write, like do like a spiritual kind of path. Went to Israel about 2 years ago, and now I'm going to Rome. And but no, my favorite was. The Super Friends.
Yeah. And you got to look at Thick.
You
know, though, is the gentle giant,
man.
That guy's like 6'4".
I call Force Blue the Super Friends of the ocean. I call Super Friends, bro. Go ahead. Speak on your Super Friends. Speak on it.
Yeah, I mean, a Super Friends, a lot of people didn't get to see that because I'm dating myself. That goes way back.
We were children. We were children, and we had ideals.
Absolutely.
Why did you like the Super Friends, bro? Why did you like that, man? Why did your gargantuan self like that, dude?
because you know you used to pick on me as
a it's because of truth and justice. It's because of truth and justice. And they never and they never tried to hurt people. They tried to save the day and do the right thing, not seek and punish anybody, but do the right thing.
Absolutely, and just absolutely. I
gotta look up some Super Friends, then, man. I gotta, man. I'm gonna be doing some Super Friends tonight, man, because I thought they were soft, but now you guys are like, all right, man. Hey, I'm proud of you for that. I'm getting into.
And we're the Super Friends, and we're gonna keep bringing more people onto the Super Friends,
right,
bro.
Man. We'll get. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad. So what are some other things? This is part one of the series regarding apocalypse. What are some other things would you say before you end up leaving that's like related to the apocalypse, revelations, and all that? Because I know you were like going to do a whole hermeneutic study on the whole darn book. Go ahead.
Well, Rudy, and thank you. I think you added. I think it was a great show. I mean, you really added some powerful, important context to it. You know, but as far as you know, just Mike, Reverend Mike, kind of not being afraid to step out of the box and putting together a show that can benefit veterans, our warriors. And if you look at, you know, the chapter, I think it's 18 in Revelation, it calls Jesus the warrior, you know, the warrior. And that's something that, and that's something that, a warrior that can be that has a victory in his hands, you know, and that's not something to shy away from either, you know, something that.
No, you know what, you know what's interesting? You know, a lot of my recon brothers and a lot of operator community guys, they used to say this joke, but it wasn't really a joke. It was a humorous truth to them. You know what they say? They say, Jesus was a gunfighter. Is that heavy? Jesus was a gunfighter. Meaning, bigger picture, Jesus was a warrior taking on insurmountable odds and fighting to the death.
Wow.
Yeah. I just thought I'd leave you guys with that.
Oh, man. You made me think about some scripture here in that when Jesus says in the gospel that he comes, tell me, Six, where is that? That he comes as a sword. He says, I come here as a sword. That's like, blazing, brother. Yeah,
well,
dude. So I'm glad you said that, man. And it's not that traditional.
It has nothing to do with violence. Calling. It does have to do with struggle. It does have to do with sacrifice.
Yeah. Yes.
But yes,
brother,
I feel you.
Beyond something, beyond the traditional way of looking at Jesus as priest, prophet, as king. That's right, warrior. And that's in the message outside that is incorporated within. So I am impressed. Yeah.
Yeah, he says in Revelation 19, it calls him the heavenly warrior.
Wow.
He defeats the beast.
Yes.
So that's something
that,
you know, taking it to internet, taking it to blog, taking it to Instagram, taking it to Facebook, and, you know, that's actually hand-to-hand combat with the beast.
Well said.
Yep.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said, my brothers. Well, I've got to sign off as well, Mike, and we'll talk
all
offline
right.
afterwards. I have an early morning training session, and and I can't wait to link up with you brothers again.
Yeah. And we heard from Six. What do you have any message for
the public, the audience, before you sign off. You've got a lot of fans, and I'm sure, again, I appreciate you always making yourself free for this domain. Can you share a couple things before you
Well, you know
before,
what? I'd like
you
to
end up
piggyback.
Breaking out?
Yeah, I'd like to piggyback on what you already expressed as far as times are grave, and we need heroes and we need warriors. And when you have some of that Christ consciousness, you find a connection to a Christ consciousness, and you have a connection to the Lord Almighty, regardless of the language or culture in which has driven it to you. Embrace it. You'll understand that every one of us is a king. Every one of us is a queen. Every man and every woman out there is royal when they're embracing that Christ consciousness and that Lord Spirit. And we can save this world. We first start by saving ourselves, by embracing that mercy, love, and grace.
That's right. That's right, folks. So I'm going to hang on and let these cats get some rest. And it's just been wonderful. So blessings to you, too. And we'll continue talking. Thank you very much for it all.
I love you, bro. Six much love.
Thank you,
man. Peace be with you.
Thank you so much.
And I can't wait to
have a good night.
Thank you, my brother. Much love.
Yeah, and your sons too. Did he win? Did he win the basketball championship six?
Yeah, two in a row. They won two in a row.
Oh,
they lost
fantastic.
This week, but they won
Dang.
Two in a row. So that was really good.
Cool.
A couple of wins don't hurt.
Losing is learning. Losing is learning.
Yeah.
So, all right, brother.
Yeah.
Much love.
All right.
Much love, and I'll talk
much
to you
love.
Soon.
Take care. Oh. All right, brother.
Much love.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. Bye, guys.
Take care. Bye. Folks, anyone else on the line, you're more than welcome to engage before we end. Any voices out there? Been a long, long night, which has been a good night and very deep. Energy has been moving, and I really appreciate you all being a part of the show. And join us again. We'll have Rudy again. We'll have Sixto again to speak more about the apocalyptic messaging that's present these days. And you'll count on me every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a non-traditional message regarding spirituality. And thank you very much for joining us. Blessings. Have a great week. Good night.